Before Jesus came to the River Jordan to be baptized by John, many had gone out to hear John preach and had been drawn to want to change their lives. They wanted to make their commitment public by being baptized to show that from now on their lives would be governed by God's law. Jesus came as they had, with the desire to show his commitment to God's way. John, however, had made it quite clear that being baptized with water was not the full story. There was one coming who would baptize them with the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus came asking John to baptize him, he recognized him as the Son of God, and he was therefore confused. He saw his own work as being preparatory to the greater baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus would undertake. So he asks, "Why does the Messiah want to be baptized by me, his forerunner?" Yet Jesus recognizes this as all part of God's plan, and that as he goes into the waters of baptism, he is identifying with his people in their need. He identifies with the sinful humanity that he has come to save. He makes himself one with them in the process of salvation that he will in due course accomplish. In this description of Jesus' baptism by John, we can observe the character qualities of both John and Jesus as they fulfill their callings. John not only had a large following, but he also demonstrated authority as he rebuked the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. But he didn't get carried away with his own importance. He understood clearly his role and knew that there was one coming after him who would be greater. He didn't worry about being surpassed. Jesus was the greater one, the Messiah, the divine Son of God, who was ready to assume his momentous redemptive role. Yet Jesus himself assumed a position of subservience as he submitted himself to the waters of baptism by John. He didn't worry about appearing to be a lesser person. Neither John nor Jesus got carried away with appearances. They demonstrated strength in carrying out their roles in God's plan of salvation. Yet that strength also included diminishing the appearance of their own importance. The key word here is humility, and they give us a powerful example of it. Knowing God's purpose and not allowing our self-promotion to get in the way enables us to accomplish God's calling for our lives as well. Jesus gives us the model of what a real human life lived in the power of the Spirit is like. He laid aside the power and glory of his position as the Son of God to live a life like you and me. That is why he is the very real, very tangible example of what our lives are being transformed into. His strength comes from his humble dependence on the same Spirit that you and I depend upon. Christ's baptism marked the start of his public ministry, the years when he is living amongst people on earth doing God's work. We can see in the verses from Isaiah a number of indications about the dimensions of Jesus' ministry and its nature. Firstly, that his ministry is above all to restore God's right order in the world. It is about dealing with the effects of sin in the world. Moreover, it is a worldwide ministry to reach all people who will listen. The third striking aspect of his ministry is its manner. Jesus brings God's right order into the world, not from a position of strength, but of weakness. He does not break already bent reeds, nor does he quench a candle flame that is already flickering. Christ disarmed his enemies with love and grace and gentleness. As it says in Paul's letter to the Philippians, he made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on the cross. As Jesus came up out of the water, three things happened. The heavens opened, the Spirit of God descended like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God is showing that Jesus is his Son, the Messiah. These three events have a relevance to us. When we gather together for a baptism, it is a precious and holy moment. As Sam Wells, the vicar at St Martin in the Fields, next to Trafalgar Square in London, said, "At your baptism, God places a song in your heart." The three things which happened at Christ's baptism show us what the song is. The heavens open. Christ's adult ministry began with the opening of the heavens and ends with the tearing of the temple curtain. For us, the veil between us and God has been torn apart. Heaven is open to us. There is no limit to God's purpose for our lives. It is an eternal purpose. The Spirit of God descended like a dove. The dove descended on Jesus, bringing the gift of the Holy Spirit. At our baptism, we receive God's Holy Spirit too. God's Spirit is within us. So in life, when we're feeling alone and surrounded by hostility, we should remember that God's Spirit is within us. A voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus means everything to God, and everything God gives to Jesus, he gives to us. So you mean everything to God. There may come a time in your life when you feel a deep sense of your own sin, but remember, you are everything to God, whatever you have done, however unworthy you feel. Remember the song God has placed in your heart. Heaven is open to you. God's Spirit is in you. You are everything to God. At baptism, promises are made to turn away from all things that are against God, the wrong in our own lives, and the wrong in the world. Then a promise to turn to Jesus, our lifelong companion and guide. At an infant baptism, the parents and godparents make these promises on behalf of the child. So what is the role of a godparent? It's not like the godfather in the famous 1970s film, the ruthless leader of the murderous mafia clan, nor like Cinderella's godmother, who has the power to make dreams come true. No, a godparent is one who stays faithful to God and faithful to their godchild wherever their life takes them. A godparent is a companion who can remind their godchild of the song which God has placed in their heart and who can pray to God for them. At confirmation, at Easter, at particular moments personal to us, we can remind ourselves of our baptismal promises and make a commitment to live in God's way. At every communion service, we offer ourselves to God afresh. And whenever we commit ourselves to God, God meets us with the gift of his love to sustain us as we learn for ourselves what it means to be loved. That relationship with God has to be lived out in our relationships with other people and with the whole of creation. We are called to work with the adult Jesus in the power of God's Spirit and continue to grow. What happens as we grow is the transformation of the poverty of our natures by the riches of God's grace. God's love is an incredibly generous gift, but we have to be open enough to receive it. We have to be willing to share it soon, because like all God's gifts, it only reaches its full potential when everyone has their share. finally, at a baptism, it is important to remember that promises are made by different people. We, or our parents and godparents, make promises to God. We repent and turn from all evil. We turn to Christ as our Saviour and Lord. We take up a new identity as children of God, to be God's people, so that we may call others to this new life in Christ. As important, God makes promises to us. Baptism with water is a physical sign of God's love for us, a divine commitment to us. It assures us of union with Christ, new birth into God's family, forgiveness and life in the Holy Spirit. He promises us faith, hope, and love. These promises are way beyond human will or emotions. Baptism is a tangible way in which the Holy Spirit makes God's promises a reality to us. Finally, at baptism, we make promises to one another. In the service, there is a call to all those present, to the church community, to do all in their power to support the child, their parents and godparents, in their life in Christ, to help them in their journey to faith. All praise and thanks to you, most merciful Father, for adopting us as your own children, for incorporating us in your holy church, and for making us worthy to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.